All right. Thank you for listening to another Dying Breed discussion. I'm your host, Lewis Blaine Anderson. Today we have a special guest. She's a wild one. She's been making fun of me all day and putting up with my computer problems. So sorry, guys. There's no Spotify in the background today. I couldn't figure it out. Bluetooth conquered me, but welcome, Josie. Did I say that right?
You did. Thank you.
Yes, let's go. So how are you tonight?
I'm great. Thank you. Great.
Besides waiting for me for like 3 hours.
Oh, I didn't mind at all.
I'd like to keep it transparent. So, I mean, I haven't had a guest on Dying Breed Discussions in a long time. Like, so, I mean, there's a lot going on. And I feel like you might have a particular, like, outlook on something. I mean, you've been a parent for quite a while. You are, I mean, I guess you can break down where you're from after my, like, mini introduction, but I'm just going to hit the highlights. Like, you being a parent, raising kids, and this, the world we're in, and the times we're going to, and you're seeing things change from when you were a kid, or even the stories you heard about, like, right now, like, after you introduce yourself, just go ahead and, like, give, like, your kind of, like, overview of just, like, what you think is going on, whether things are going to be okay, whether it's normal, or, like, we need to turn the ship around.
Huh, I see. Okay, well, obviously we're heading for some scary places, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I'm drawing a blank right now. I'm just drawing a blank. As a mom, my kids haven't been in the public school system most of their lives. I've homeschooled most of my kids' lives.
Oh, there you go.
I don't want other people raising my kids for me because of the way things are. When I was growing up, we were in public school. We were taught by our teachers and our peers, and we trusted our teachers for the most part. And I trust the teachers even now today, but mm-hmm. I feel like teachers' hands are so tied. People vilify teachers so badly now. And it's not even about that. It's not even about teachers. It's about all the red tape and all the bureaucracy. And honestly, I'm not even very well versed in any of the political stuff. I stay out of it as much as I can, even though that's very irresponsible of me. But I have to keep my sanity.
No, I hear you.
It freaks me out so much.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a good take. Like, that's a good take. First of all, like, don't be nervous. It's fine. But that's why I wanted your take. First of all, the school system, what you just kind of said in, like, not so many words is, you can be indoctrinated one way or the other, regardless of, you know, what is being taught. You know, you could be being taught good American values at school. You can be being taught communist values at school. Regardless, we are handing our kids, our future over to people for 8 to 10 hours a day. You know, I mean, that alone, I guess, is how it's always been and how it should be. But I feel like with that kind of responsibility, teachers should have more pay. They should have more help in the classroom. Classroom sizes should be smaller. There's just all kinds of things that we're not addressing at the fundamental level of why things are getting progressively worse. You know, I think it starts in the classroom. A lot of people say, oh, it starts at home. But that's for a certain economic level of American. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain people who can afford private school, or certain people who have boarding school as an option. There's people who have nannies who take care of dropping kids off and picking them up. And then there's, like, the realistic amount of America who, you know, the parents are either asleep still when their kids are getting ready for school because they work through the night, or they're up in the morning but aren't there when they get off school, and they have to do the homework on their own or whatever. And I think we're really missing the fact that economics is, like, the biggest problem we have. You know, I it's hard for me to believe that we would have as many problems as we do now if we invested in like public, let's say like recreational centers, to the point to that they were really funded to where they could really take care of kids until a certain time when people got off. People were paid fair, equal, like equal pay at work. And I know there's so many arguments like, oh, women take more time off, women are more likely to use vacation and not get promoted because of that, and all this other stuff, but I get it. But then if we know that that's like a standard statistic, then like why aren't we compensating for it?
That's true. That's a good question.
You know, it's like if we know that's the norm, okay, black men tend to be more violent. Black men tend to have less, was it impulse control? White men tend to be more apt to hurt animals and be a serial killer or to abuse women or to kill their parents, right? If we now say, okay, that's the baseline, that's the data we've collected, what the fuck are we doing about it? That's the craziest thing. It's like, no, we want to move these people from their base of, say, this behavior back to normal behavior or whatever we consider normal behavior, rather than like create a system in which it works to where everyone fits within it.
Yeah.
And I think the worst part is they make money off of it. And I'll
It's
continue
sick.
this way, right? So the middle of America white people or whites, or I don't know what white people want to be called, Americans, middle America Americans, just like black people are Americans, tend to be paying their debt to America through taxes. So break
Okay.
that down, right? Vehicle tabs, taxes on their house, taxes on all the stuff, their goods that they buy. That's how they fuel America, right? Then you have
Okay.
lower income America, black, white, green, orange, it don't matter. You go to any public jail, or not public jail, but any county jail, there's every color or race in it. That's how a lot of those men pay their debt to America. Each and every body that is in a jail, that sits in a jail cell, is money to the economy paid by the federal government. So if you
Okay.
can't contribute, say you're in that position, low income, you can't really contribute. How much taxes do you really collect on a $15,000 a year McDonald's job?
Are you asking me?
No, just saying, like, just out of the blue, like, we don't know, I don't know, but just
Right,
like,
I don't know.
you know, as far as like a thought process, right? Okay, so then how much do you think people collect at working at a bowling alley or a gas station or all these like lower income jobs, or even say a car salesman or a salesman at a car toys or let's say like a Dodge dealership or whatever, right? They're peaking 35 grand, 50 grand, wherever they are, right?
Sure.
Anything below that like 250 grand a year mark is kibbles and bits. They make more money with those people being imprisoned.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Then they make that money from their children not having a father because they're deemed to repeat the same thing. So, and then their moms are in an economic scenario that's probably never going to get out of 250 grand a year. I know my mom never made 250 grand a year. So then their
My mom
child,
neither.
right? So their child is then stuck in that exact same trap. Then that's why black people call it a trap, and everyone's like, what is this trap that they keep talking about? That the trap, or that's why they call it, you know, whatever. That's the same trap that everyone's talking about. Is it's a cycle, or they're talking about, you know, there's a vicious cycle that they talk about in rap music a lot, you know, and that's the exactly what I just described, but on a nationwide scale. Now, when you do bigger crimes, like you're not like a petty thief, or you're not getting in fights or whatever, and you go to prison, then you go to private prisons, then the money gets even bigger. For those people getting paid, a lot of those people who invest in those prisons are donors to senators and donors to, you know, people running for president or, you know, congressmen that are acting in their behalf. So that's where I don't think there's I know they need money to house the people. but they're making profit. That's where I have the issue. And there's this, like, in like some, in some counties and some states, like in Texas, right? If you're, if you're even if it's a say it's a private prison, and for example it's Joe's private prison,
okay, and
you can't, you're allowed a budget, right? You get voted, like the vote, they vote on a budget for the meals for the prisoners, which each one's going to cost a head, you know, for the three meals a day or whatever, right? Say it's usually, let's say, it's $20 a day per prisoner, right?
Okay.
If you can find someone to sell you stuff throughout the year at, you know, $5 a day or $10 a day, you can legally take the rest of it and spend it on whatever you want.
Okay.
So the guy, so this one sheriff, he bought like a boat. He bought a brand new boat with the money that he saved buying lunches or buying dinners or whatever for the inmates. But the problem was they were eating piss poor food. Like, it was terrible, or the same thing every day. It's like, sure, it's easy to get, you know, a discount when you go to one guy and then you buy the same meal for 365 days, or, you know, say 200 days, and the, and he mixes it up with some other stuff the other couple hundred or 165 days.
Right.
And the fact that that allocated budget wasn't fully used to be like, I mean, yeah, they made mistakes and they're in jail or prison, but when you take away someone's freedom like that, and you can make money off them, like making license plates or doing whatever else in there, like, that, to me, if you can't at least give them what was voted on, I mean, that sounds a lot more like slavery than them serving a sentence.
That's true.
You know, so
true.
It's just shit like that. And, you know, and you can find that in, you can find that in nearly every form of business. I mean, so my background, I did corporate sales from 18 years old to 2018. So I was 26. So I did, at some point in there, I did like management. And then at some point I did like the retail counter, but most of my time I was spent in the field, traveling around to like businesses. Yeah. Mainly it was business to business sales. So I would travel around to businesses, and I was an account manager at one point, and I would just help people say, hey, like, this is where your numbers are, this is your throughput, blah, 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 blah. So I, and then, but in that, during the meetings, when we would have to fly to either St. Louis or fly to Portland or fly to Wisconsin or New York or whatever to have our conferences and our meetings, we would get the lowdown on what's really going on. And that's when I learned, like, there's really no such thing as a sale. You know, like, I building sales plans for different regions, even by zip code. Like, it's down to a science how crafty and how analytical sales are. And I'm just talking about auto parts. And like, you know, diagnostic tools and stuff like that. Like, I've been in the automotive industry my whole life. And I'm telling you, like, I had data. I knew when the store would be slow based on the weather.
Oh, wow.
Like, we knew weeks in advance that stores would be slow because our algorithms, would compensate for the Puyallup Fair. Like,
that's interesting.
It's crazy. And that was at my level. So then you have to think, what do the FBI have? The prison systems have? What do these investors that have billions and billions and billions of dollars assigned to them to have these machines, what the hell do they have? Mm-hmm. You know, so to me, it's not even like it's not even like you're guessing or like anticipating crime. You could pretty much these days type in what crime you're looking for, and then a GPS pointer can point you to the neighborhood when you're most likely to find that crime.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that at the police level right now, but it is possible. Like you it would be super easy, right? You get someone who knows machine learning, right? And you have an algorithm. You download the FBI statistical data for, say, domestic abuse in Washington State by area. Then you load all those points into the machine learning program. You download the map, the Google Maps, to overlay on top of that. You hit search, and then all the little red dots will populate of where they happen. By time,
Yeah.
when, like, so, okay, so every time you get a call, right, they know what time it happens. They know
Okay.
the demographic, like what color they were. They know whether it was an apartment complex or a house. They can tell you, I mean, down to the freaking pretty, it's Minority Report. So,
Oh, that's what it's sounding like.
right? So take that idea into this next sentence.
Okay.
Prison seats are determined by fourth grade reading level. Now,
Oh, geez.
I'm gonna explain it, right? So they take the fourth grade reading level of class, of in 20 or 2002, and they fast forward to when they're adults, and that's how many seats they know need to be open in that state based on who can read and who can't at that level.
Wow, that's messed up.
And that's legitimate. So if we know there's a correlation between reading level and incarceration, the common person could say, well, we need to teach these kids how to read.
Yeah.
Yet we don't spend the money there.
Right.
We don't improve class sizes for or have a specific reading class. We don't pay the reading teachers more. We don't get paras in the building to help that happen. And it's not their fault. It so my thing is, let's think about this, right? You and I get $1 million dropped in our laps tomorrow.
Okay.
We have to buy a car, whether we have one or not. We have to buy land or a house, no matter whether we have one or not. And we have to buy one next to each other. We have to be friends for the rest of our lives, right?
Okay.
The rest of the money we can
Okay.
do whatever we want with, right? So 10 years later, you and I, neighbors, we're friends, we have our cars, we're blown, we're sitting on the front lawn drinking whatever and just hanging out, and we notice that the next door neighbor has been robbed for the seventh time this year. So I'm like, you know what, you stay here, I'll go talk to him. I go talk to him, like, hey, what's going on, man? Like, this, I know it's happening. These kids keep coming in the house and they keep trying to steal my stuff. I replace it every time with their insurance money, but damn, I got to figure out how to get them to stop stealing my shit. I'm like, hey, do you have a security system? Well, no, I don't believe in that. I don't want the man keeping tabs on me.
Right.
Okay, well then I'm like, all right, dude, I think you should get a security system. Get your house locked down, and maybe that won't happen anymore. Nah, I just don't trust that I'm always going to be looked after. I don't want none of that in my room. I don't want that under my roof. So I'm going to just have to put a safe in the floor, and I hope they don't get it. 2 weeks later, cops show up. He got robbed again. Now, at that point, he's feeding them whatever they're robbing. That's no longer a victim. That's someone setting him up for them to come get it. And he's getting insurance fraud, whether we like it that way or not. So I feel like it's the exact same thing with these goddamn kids in these fucking schools. When you know what the, we can't, okay, if you're like, okay, let's solve a global warming tomorrow. It's like, well, we have to stop doing this and we have to go electric cars. Well, mining lithium and mining all this stuff, you need a lot of diesel machines to do it. So actually, getting electric cars on the road and getting gas cars on the road about even out. Meh, try again.
Yep.
Right? Time and time again, it's been
Right.
pretty much proven that it's pretty much a wash wherever way you go. Okay, so we say, well, pollution's a pretty big one. Maybe we should get the plastic out of the ocean. Maybe we should, maybe the smog that comes from factories that aren't as clean as our factories. Maybe we should take some technology over to China and get them some filtration. But that would cost too much. Okay, so it's not about the... It's really not about the plan. It's about the bottom dollar.
It's always about the dollar. Everything's about the dollar.
Right? So to my question is always... And it leaves me perplexed because it's just like... I'm on top of a mountain. Well, not on top, but I call it on... It's pretty much... To any normal person, I'm on top of a mountain.
Sure.
In the middle of nowhere. And I'm not college educated. I'm a almost 30-year-old black man that's not college educated. How can I realize that, like, saving the climate has nothing to do with cars and more to do with corporate pollution, and that's where we should be focusing, but Greta Thunberg didn't have anything to say about it? And all the people, all the senators who keep trying to make it about Tesla and about Chevy's diesels and Toyota's diesel, not Toyota's, but Volkswagen's diesels. Like, how is it that a common man, a simple man, you know, a backyard mechanic, if you will, can have the complexity in mind to solve a solution that simply would cost money, less money than the $14 trillion they want to spend on that bill. Yet, there's people in the White House with college education, with all this other stuff, that aren't solving it. That would leave one to believe that they want it that way.
I mean, obviously they want it that way. It's money in their pocket. It's money Precisely. In people's pocket. It's
Precisely.
Money. There's always money there.
That's it. I mean, I just don't get how, you know, there's people who will, and this is the sad part to me, right? There's people who will stop talking to their parents, and they're getting older, right? There's parents that stop talking to people's grandparents while they got 10 years left, maybe 5 years left, over politics and over dogma, really. When all of it's bullshit, you know, that should hit any normal person hard to know that they're willing to let you, well, ultimately, yes, it's their choice. And I get that. And this is their argument. You know, I'll play devil's advocate for them. You know, well, hey, I didn't tell them to stop talking to their mama, or I didn't tell them to do this, or I didn't tell them to do that. Which is always the cop out for people like that. But the thing is, people push policy so hard, and everyone wants to be the good guy.
Right, everybody does.
You know, like, it's so much easier to be like, hey, like, I want, do you give a fuck about penguins and polar bears? Well, yeah. Well, you need to be a Democrat. Like, shit, well, I'm a Democrat then. Fuck y'all who don't care about penguins and polar bears. I love penguins and polar bears. And then you have, you know, conservatives like, well, I care about the fiscal stability of the country. I care about what I believe to be my religious rights, which have nothing to do with the Bible. But either way, like, they believe in saving kids from abortion, which is also not in the Bible. But it sounds like I'm knocking on conservatives. I'm not. It's just lately a lot of their points haven't been strong enough to stand on.
Okay.
Right. So, and I'm very, very conservative when it comes to, like, money, and when it comes to the actual Bible, not like preachers preaching it, but what's actually in the text. And there's a lot of things that, like, I vibe with when it comes to, like, this is more logical than emotional, when the Democratic side tends to be a lot more emotional than logical. But I feel like both of them are just like, one's one wing and one's the other wing, attached to the same fucking bird.
Yeah.
But this bird is a nuke. And this nuke is headed straight for us. That bird went up. It's like a big ass nuke with two paper wings taped to it. Like, trying to fool people.
Paper wings?
I'm kidding. Like, no shit. Like, how hard is it to, like, I bet you right now, I'd be willing to bet my I'd be willing to bet life in prison for the rest of my life that you like that. no, seriously, you, me, and our choice of five people each could solve any one issue that's legitimate. If it, so say they said climate change or transportation or water, getting water across the nation, or even feeding the world, right? Not us having to like deliver the food, but at least a solid plan that we can implement this year to start like start growing more crops in certain space. It doesn't take that many people.
It really doesn't.
You know, it doesn't. So what, I mean, I'm trying to figure out, what are these teams of people doing?
Arguing? They're arguing with each other, probably.
Exactly. Exactly. That's probably exactly it. That's the only thing that can stop progression from something that's linear. Is someone trying to make it unlinear. Like, I'm just thinking, like, when I'm thinking about what's the first thing we should do in America, well, it's like, well, let's make sure everyone has food, water, and shelter. You know, not iPhones, not, you know, even above rights. Honestly, and that sounds anti-American, but it's not. I'm talking about, let's not fight for reparations until everyone has clean water, everyone can eat, and everyone can take some kind of shelter.
Sure.
Right? And then from then on, we can do whatever we can then decide what's important, because the people that have been left out of the conversation would be stable enough to speak. So yeah. The people who have been too busy fighting for their lives, trying to get clean water in Flint, trying to figure out how, you know, they're going to keep getting water bottles delivered and all this other stuff, trying to afford it. Now that they have clean water, now they can run for office against the people who fucked it up.
Right.
All the homeless that have all the mental health issues, former, you know, veterans, most of them are veterans, can get cleaned up, can get fresh meals, they can get taken care of, get their head on straight, maybe see, you know, medical. You know, obviously medical should be in there. I can't believe I didn't say it, but to me, it's almost like it should be there already, that it was that easy not to include in food, water, shelter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Food, water, shelter, medical care. That can't
the basic necessities of life.
Yeah. How can you have a country that's ran on a democracy, which is of the people, for the people, by the people, if most of the people are absent?
That's a good question.
It makes no sense to me. And the thing is, like, voices like mine will never be propelled to the front, because they can't be controlled. They can't be bought. But they can be put to work on issues. And that's what I've noticed, is like, I've literally probably solved every humanly issue since I've moved to this area. On paper, even poking holes in it, right? Trying to make it fail, trying to figure out why it wouldn't work, then I fix it. And then, you know, go through it. And then that's when I started to think, like, I'm driving myself crazy. I need to start a podcast. And it came out, huh?
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Right? So then it started, but it came out as, like, fiery hate and anger, because I'm learning and going to, like, between YouTube, books, you know, history, you know, any, like, actual scientific journals that are available to the public. Watching lectures about economics or about geology or about whatever. Like, I mean, I'm talking about countless hours of research and just determination, because I had nothing to do. And I felt like I was, at least if I was, I felt like I was fighting the good fight, even if it was only in my head. And it made me so mad when I got to my podcast, because I realized, like, this is on purpose. And there's no way for anyone to articulate that without sounding batshit crazy.
That's why it's set up the way it is.
Exactly. people will make, you know, documentaries and it goes over people's head or it goes under. It's because for you to be able to understand what they're doing, I feel like you put your mind in such a position that is no longer at a level of the people you need to communicate with. So I've had to learn, especially how to, like, my vocabulary is pretty big. I could have said vast, but pretty big. Normal people understand pretty big. If I say my vocabulary is vast and there's even one person who doesn't know what vast means, they lose track of everything I'm saying.
Okay.
Right? So it's like, do I want to sound smart or do I want to get my point across?
Get your point across.
Exactly. And I feel like there's too many people, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I don't know, he's the biggest offender, who would rather hear themselves say big words and express, like, I have my PhD, than actually get anyone to really understand what the fuck they're doing. I feel like politicians do the same thing. When they're speaking, you know what Donald Trump did? Is he made shit dirt simple.
He did. He really did.
He made it dirt floor poor simple.
He continues to do so, doesn't he?
And and that's one thing you can't take away from the guy. He's... Like, when Hillary called people deplorables, it's like, at the end of the day, those deplorables, if they wanted, and I'm saying this hypothetically, those are people who have rifles that can shoot a deer moving at 300 yards. You have enough of those people aimed at your car, you're not going to have a good day. So, good thing they're deplorables with jobs, who have somewhere to be, with families, who have obligations, because otherwise, the same people that America has been trotting on are the most lethal. And they're not, you don't have to have a college degree or know big words or dress fancy to change the tide of the way people live forever. It would take, unfortunately, and I'm going to go a little dark here for a second, but it would take a couple bad assassinations by people who are dumb and Republican and American loving and all this shit that they always talk about, right?
Right.
A couple people to knock some people off of a high degree, or they're, you know, not even so much politicians, but some of these, say, actors or celebrities, easier people to get to. And the public know that they're being taken out. It would take a lot for people to change. Yes, there would be some people that would bite down harder and then say they would radicalize to the fact that all these people are dangerous. See, we told you, blah blah blah. And then there's other people like, we push them too far. I mean, I can't see how they can break it down any other way. Right, so let's think about what's going on right now. Joe Rogan fucked up. Everyone agrees that he said some words that he shouldn't have. He did some things, said a joke that he shouldn't have. But what's crazy is every single black friend of his had his back. Because he said the N-word or whatever, right? So it's like, so then what? So if all the black people are rallying around Joe and saying, well, he's good, he didn't do anything wrong. It's a black word.
Okay.
So are you familiar with the Joe Rogan thing right now? Or am I just talking shit? Like you have no idea.
I have no idea.
Okay. You are so good at doing that. Like, I need lessons.
I have kids at home and I ignore the rest of it.
That is so good. I am proud of you. Like, I don't even want to talk about anything anymore. Like, what do you mean? How can someone isolate and insulate themselves that well?
I don't know. I feel very ignorant and I feel very, what is it? Irresponsible. I felt very irresponsible in my ignorance.
I think we should break that down. I think we should go deeper into that, because I don't think it's irresponsible. I mean, first of all, would you agree that your mental health is like the number one thing in the world, right? For you and anyone else.
It is the most important thing in my life because my family depends on my mental health being good.
Okay, so there you go. if you were acclimated, which I am, to what's going on in the world, that is not a sign of good mental health.
That's true.
It's not a sign of, if you're just fine and you're go lucky and you're one of these politicians who smile on TV and tell you everything is fine, everything's going to be okay, and the next guy's going to save the day, you're fucking insane. Wait, the guys who can hold it together until the ship breaks in half and then hop on their own life raft, knowing you're not going to be on it.
Right?
Like, those are the worst kind of people in the world.
Yeah, those are scary people.
Because they have a skill that a lot of people don't. Like, I couldn't do it. If something was going to happen, like, say like a meteor was going to hit and I was president of the United States. And like, well, we got to keep everyone at bay until we can launch our getaway things. You know, like every movie you watch, you know, like there's always an escape plan, or they try to have one, or, you know, rich people have like a boat or something like that, right? You know,
sure.
How I'd tell them immediately. I would tell them immediately, because at the end of the day, that kind of power being wielded by one person or one entity or one government exceeds the grasp of anything human. I don't think there's any one human or one group of humans collectively that have the right to determine one's reaction to a life-ending event, especially of natural causes, you know. And it's just weird that people try to do that. I guess what I'm trying to figure out is what's for power? What's for control? Because to me, those are different. And what's just for pure selfishness? You know, like what's going on in the world? Like, were some of these moves, like when they sold those stocks, those four Republicans sold those stocks of those companies right as COVID picked up. That to me was truly obviously out of greed, because power, you can't really get power from it. You know, you'll get your money, but no power. You won't get any control, because they kind of try to keep it a secret. So, you know, to be in control, you have to have some kind of like, you have to be visual or like out there. So that wasn't it. So it had to be just straight greed. But then there's Donald Trump's presidency. This guy, and trust me, I've had my issues with Donald Trump, like, personally, and I'll tell you off air, like when we hang out, because it's not going to sound real, but you're just going to have to trust me, or let me tell you the story in front of my mom. She's like, you know, someone who can corroborate my story. So Donald Trump
in front of your mom,
like, seriously, no joke. And then you can meet my mom. It'll be great. Okay. And then, like, had personal beef. Like, I'm not, like, legit personal beef. Like, excessive use of the Secret Service to come to me and try to intimidate me over something I said, beef.
Wait, you were going to tell me off air.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you the story and, like, how it all happened and whatever. But I just wanted to, for the listeners, obviously, they're like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? But,
got it.
Like, my face was up in every White House security room and all over the way. There was a tactical plan of how to deal with me, legitimately. Okay. So with that being said, Donald Trump gave every dollar back to you can't say anything bad about Donald Trump's presidency because it was free.
Right.
It didn't cost us a dime. So Obama got paid a lot of money to blow up a lot of people at Middle Eastern weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a lot of stuff happen during his presidency. George W. Bush, God bless his soul. Because I don't think he's a bad person. I don't think he's that bright either. Or he could be a mastermind who plays dumb. I don't know. But we paid him a lot of money to spend a whole lot of money in the Middle East, right? Donald Trump had gas prices down, had lumber prices down, had food prices down, had TV prices down. We were about to sign a deal with China so we can get the microchips. Everything we're missing right now, the reason why everything's empty on the shelves is because of what? A supply chain issue. That was about to get solved. He was about to name the Mexican cartels a terrorist organization so the military would have more to do. There would be jobs. There would be less drugs trafficked. Everyone forgets that, but then the Democrats try to hit him with impeachment right when he was going to do it. Right when he was about to name them. I remember, like, to this day, because at that time I was still heavy in politics. Right when Donald Trump was going to name the biggest criminal organization a terrorist group. Here's my hypothesis. A lot of drug money is funneled from Mexico into California and then distributed to the Democratic Party through people like Nancy Pelosi and the Gavin Newsom or whatever they are. The governors, the senators, all those people, and then through super PACs and through businesses. I believe the drug money is then cleaned and funneled to the Democratic Party in exchange for them to run drugs back and forth across the border. That is my greatest hypothesis. And I only say this because when Obama was in office, this was the plan. This was the DEA operation. And anyone can Google this. Obama decided that would be a good idea to send a crates of weapons, talking military grade, fully automatic weapons, rocket launchers, all that, to Mexico, to the cartels, with a tracking device in them, so that he could figure out where the cartels' dens are, where they hold the ammo, where they hold the guns. As soon as it went across the border, the tracker went dead, the guns were never recovered.
I wonder why.
And that's a true story. That's called shaking of hands. So the thing is, at least the CIA had the decency to just fly over with a plane from Colombia and then drop it in the swamps and then have Bill Clinton run the little runway in, what was it, Mena, Arkansas? Wherever it was. They made a movie about it. It's so common they made a movie.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's like legit, like Pablo Escobar shit. Like they were flying coke and private planes, using a CIA guy was flying coke and went rogue. Okay. And they were just dropping coke out of planes into this field. And then sometimes, like, there was like boats that would just drop it in the swamps and people would come recover it. I mean, there was so much money in drugs. While, mind you, the same administration, this was before he became president, but mind you, this was in the 80s. So after, when he became president, then he signs the crime bill and the crack bill. Like the drug bill, which I think might have been the same bill as the crack bill, which made it a higher offense to sell crack cocaine, which most black people sold crack cocaine rather than cocaine because it was cheaper to buy. So it made it pretty much so if you're black and you're selling drugs, you go to jail for life. But if you're white, you get caught with coke, it's not that bad.
Oh, I see.
Right. So you could sell coke all day long and not get life in prison. It was simply only crack. And the only people who sold crack were black people.
Oh, I see.
So that was a little problem.
Yeah, I guess so.
But the thing is, it's like, you can't even call that racist because they're still criminals. You know, it's just like that's where I can, the system is convoluted and it's hard to determine. They're still criminals, but should they serve life? Fuck no. No one thinks anyone should do life for that. No one reasonable. They didn't hurt anyone, well, directly.
No one directly.
Right. You know, like, yeah, sure. People who did crack ended up pretty fucked up. But
yeah,
I don't know. See, I don't even know how we got there. Like, but we're 45 minutes in and we have touched so many subjects. This feels almost exactly like how I do a podcast, but you're just putting a little razzle dazzle in there.
I'm saying, sure, okay.
It's working. It's working.
Because I have no idea what is going on.
Can we talk about something that you know? Can you take me out of my element? Can you bring me in yours? Like, what do you like to do that's something that I don't know?
What do I like to do that's something you don't know?
Yeah, like something I'm not like versed in. Like, can you stump me on anything?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't talked to you very much.
Well, it should be easy to stump me.
It could be easy to stump you.
Yeah.
I'm a mom. I do mom things. I paint with my kids and I play guitar and I
wait, build Legos. Wait, can you sing? Because I like your voice, first of all. I just didn't want to say it on the pod.
Oh, thank you. I like to sing karaoke in my kitchen and my kids sing karaoke too. And And we play with Rubik's Cubes and we do dorky little puzzles and
that's so legit.
Family. Yeah, we do kid and mom things.
Well, that's something to hang your hat on. And if you didn't get that reference, that's an amazing country song.
Hang your hat on, yeah.
See, I'm full of surprises as well. Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, today I was listening to, like, I made a new Spotify account because I have, like, a billion emails. So I was just like, you know, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to do a whole new playlist. And I just started
working on it. You made a whole new email today?
No, like, I have a bunch just, like, ready to go in case anything ever happened. I could just switch between my emails or whatever. So I just used one of the ones I already had, like, ready to go to make a new Spotify.
Okay, I think I know what we could talk about, actually, too, besides that.
Ooh, okay, well, I'll wrap up the story
don't think it's something that is going to stump you, though, but go ahead.
Okay, so I just, like, made a new Spotify, and then it just started playing as soon as I was done picking, and it was, like, the perfect playlist, and I was just wrenching on my truck. I was, like, I was wiring some stuff from, like, the battery to under the passenger seat. Like putting in like an inverter so like you could have house plugs and stuff like when you're in the truck.
Right.
And I was just like, this is that shit. Cause like the view from my house, hold on. I don't know if you can get this picture while we're on the phone. I'll send you. So like my background to the podcast is the view from the front of my house.
Okay.
And I'll send you. So I was just looking at the view. Well, you know, you've been up, like, up this way.
I've actually been up that road.
Oh, then, yeah, you know how beautiful it is. So then I'm just sitting there listening to music, wrenching. I'm like, man, this is the fucking life, yo. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, once I get my shop built, like, I can't wait to have the music blaring, looking outside. It's a decent temperature. Like, that's why, doubling back to you, that's why none of this shit matters. Until you can't get like food from the grocery store, until there's no gas at the gas pump, like be exactly who you are because none of the politics don't matter. There's no amount of logic or sense that will make it better.
That's true. I can't even stomach it.
You're doing the right thing. You're not irresponsible. You're not putting your head in the sand. You're just being intelligent. Honestly, it's like, just because you're bulletproof doesn't mean you should go get shot a lot. Because even with that superpower, I'm sure it still hurts.
Yeah.
Right? So just because you can handle it, just because you could take on the weight of the world and other people. For what? You got your kids? You got fun stuff to do? Like, I'm all about people who separate themselves from it. Me, I was thrown into politics in a really messed up way, and thrown into this environment and this community in a way to where like I can never go back. I can never unsee what I saw. I can never unhear what I. So I'm always gonna be. It's like once you're unlocked, you're unlocked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once you go too deep, there's no. You have to find your way back to normalcy and ride that as long as you can, because there's going to be good days and bad days, because like one day you might just remember how bad this dude's laptop was, and then he never got pinned for it. I see. Because the FBI covered it up, and you have to just know that's what happened. There's nothing you can do about it. Move the fuck on, because if you think about what they saw in that lot, there was people reportedly throwing up. They had to take shifts because people kept throwing up. It was that bad on his laptop. So, yeah, and it's insane. There's nothing anyone could do. But knowing that, knowing what was on it, which I'm not going to say because I don't want to put that on anyone, but or whose laptop it was, the fact that knowing that's what happened, that changes your perspective. And the thing is, I think you have the right idea. That's pretty much what I wanted to break down in so many words. It's like, I think you got it right. I don't want you to ever feel bad about it. You're kind of the person I've been looking for to like and slip into my life and keep there. Because there's got to be someone that distracts you from it. When you can't do it on your own, like what do you think like all these CIA guys go home to? They go home to their wife. Almost all of them. And she's probably some nice Southern or East Coast lady who wants nothing to do with their work at all.
Right.
And it's a part of them kind of decompressing.
Yeah, then you got to be able to decompress.
Got to. I mean, otherwise you'll drive yourself nuts. But let's go on to what you wanted to talk about. You said we might either be on the same page about it or what was going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so one thing that I know a lot about lately that I think is messed up is the dating scene today. Ooh. Have you dated as an adult, a single adult?
I wouldn't call it dating because it was never after my fiance and I broke up. I was with other people, but never in a... actually, that's a lie. It wasn't dating. There was one girl that I was in love with when I was with the girl I was going to marry.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it was never anything but platonic. It was legit platonic, and I don't know how we did it. Because we both have our past, and we were both like... It's why everyone thought we had sex, but we never did. And I think it's kind of what put pressure on everything and what fucked everything up at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, because my fiance at the time was always comparing herself to this girl that I loved. And it was never, but Chelsea was my son's mom was never in competition with her.
Right.
It was never about, you know, it was just like, I loved her in a way and I love the other one in a way different way, but it was just like one got it and one was fine with it, the one I obviously loved more, and then it was always her, my son's mom, who had the issues with it. And there was some inappropriate stuff, like I'm not going to try to act like there was no, but it was, we were dancing on the line of trying to figure out a platonic relationship, but there was never any kissing, never any sex, never any fingering, nothing like that. Like, there was nothing, I'm telling you, nothing. Like, yeah, like, sometimes there was pictures exchanged or whatever, or we would talk inappropriately to each other, but it was never, ever physical. And even with that, like... if you're gonna, like, you can't, you know, I love this person, like, if you, it's like either her or me kind of shit, like I chose her and then it ultimately blew up in my face anyway, so
oh no.
Yeah, I mean, I can't call that dating because we never officially dated, but I feel like it was way messier than that because
you have been on online dating sites.
Yeah.
And I have been on online dating sites. And have you talked to many people on them, though? Have you had the opportunity to have many discussions, in-depth discussions with many women?
Yeah.
Real women.
It's fucked up. Women are damaged out here. Women are fucking damaged. They're like, because I love psychology and sociology. So I break down people's minds before I can like them. So like, before I'm ever attracted to someone physically, it's going to be mental. And I can be attracted to them, and but they are, oh my God, if you can give a woman everything she wants, and then she'll run. She'll, oh, okay, I'm capable of getting everything I want. I'm, now I want to go find what I want and better.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, have you noticed how the conversation is hard to get past the initial conversation, though?
No, on it, can I be honest with you? My issue has been finding friends. I had to stop having the conversations you're talking about because they'll go far and then it's just like they just want sex, which is fine.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's just like, no, I want to fuck. Like, when can we, like, let's meet up, let's do this. I don't know how, but I have a way about me that it just always, I find either girls like that or it's just like, I don't necessarily want that to be everything. Like, I will give up the dick gladly. Like, you can have it, take it, like, cherish it, or beat it to hell and use it and give it back. As long as there's going to be a friendship afterwards. Me personally can't afford for someone to come in my life, use me for sex, and then leave. I'm okay with, I'm even okay with, like, oh, let's see where things go. Let's have sex. Oh, we're not meant to, like, be in a relationship. We can either keep having sex or stop having sex as long as we can still, I can call you and hang out. You know what I mean? Right. And I don't feel like women can do that because they say they can. And then there's, like, it's messy. Like, with this one girl I was just talking to, she's sweet. She's from Canada. Sweetheart. Just sweetheart. It came down, it's like, no, like, I want to be friends. Like, it's just like, oh, did you, like, you just friend zone me? I'm like, yeah, kind of. Like, I'm really trying to build, like, it something for a long time. And then it, and then, I don't know, it didn't really change after that. I think we grew closer to where I didn't even feel like I needed to have that, like, boundary up.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like, I didn't need to say, oh yeah, we're just friends. Like, it's like, oh, if you want to come in for some dick and then dip out, cool, whatever. I know you're going to come back to me. Like, we're going to have a talking relationship. I can call you about something. I want to buy something, like, fashion wise. I can send you a picture of it. And you, like, you know what I mean? Like, I need that kind of friendship regardless of how it is. I believe now the exchange rate's different with men and women, right? So, women just want to get fucked. They want good.
Isn't that interesting? From when we were teenagers?
Wild! It's like, I'm living the dream realistically as a guy because I have no issues with confidence. Like I'm a normal looking guy. I guess I'm above average height being 6'1". But it's like I'm a chubbier guy. In my whole life, like, when we hang out, I can go into my Google photos from, like, 2015, 16, whatever. I've only hung out and been around, like, the hottest girls. Like, and I've only... And, like, if I actually break down the girls I've had sex with, I have a trophy case, not a junkyard.
Nice.
Like, straight up. Like, I just always, since I was young, I was like, I don't... Every person I have sex with is tagged to me for the rest of my life. Someone somewhere can make that link to me for the rest of my life. I don't want anything I wouldn't be proud of on my deathbed to happen while I'm alive, like, in the moment, right? So I've been able to kind of, like, always hold back and, like, be reserved. Like, I could have had way more sex than I've had in my life. But I've said no a lot, and a lot of guys don't.
It's really important to be able to say no.
No, like, you got to know when to, like, but there's some girls that are out there that you just can't say no to. Like, and I don't know a whole lot of them, but I know they exist for sure.
Have you met some of them?
At a farmer's market.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Recently. The one I know currently, a farmer's market. But
that's interesting.
It's wild. I'm like, and I didn't see it coming. Trust me, I didn't see it coming. But I'm just like, now, whew, Sheesh. It's whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's whatever.
It's whatever.
Gotta be wary of those farmers market women. They might be weird.
The most of them, I mean, you know what's cool is like weird is the new normal. You
Is
know,
it though?
what's normal?
It's kind of weird, isn't it? Yeah, that's
Thank
true.
you. Exactly. We've just shifted. It's Stranger Things. You know, like
Yeah.
realistically, like the world, if you went back to yourself, everyone uses this example, you know, 10 years ago, and you said, well, shit, 10 years from now, there's gonna be a world crippling virus. It's gonna attack your lungs and everyone's gonna buy toilet paper. You'd be like, what the fuck is going
The funniest thing I've ever heard. It's
on?
going to
Like,
attack your lungs, and everyone's going to buy toilet paper.
It's insane to me. Like, we're living in an active twilight zone.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing the end of the world happen. Like, we saw that church burn. I forgot, was it Notre Dame? What the fuck was it?
Yeah.
Burned. You know,
Burn,
like
baby, burn.
there was all kinds of just a natural event, tons of earthquakes going on. You know, there's a UFO. The government admitted that there's fucking UFOs. 10 years ago, someone told you the government's gonna tell you UFOs are real and release footage during this pandemic. You'd be like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, I didn't even catch that one. I didn't even see any of that because I just don't watch the news. I don't listen to the
Well,
news.
I'm trying not to make your ears bleed then.
No, you're fine.
But
You're
yeah.
fine.
So yeah, the it was a part so a part of a this is how sneaky the government is. A part of the funding. Do you remember when like the CARE Act passed, like them giving us stimulus checks and all the stuff for COVID, like funding hospitals and all that crap?
Okay.
They snuck in a bill that said all the agencies had to give a full report on UFOs in the bill.
COVID bill?
Yes.
That's interesting because it has nothing to do with it.
That's what happened. Okay, so like when they banned automatic weapons back in the 80s, they also banned like projectile knives, all projectile knives. And it's just like, I guess that would have been the bill to do it in. But the thing is, there's probably people that had them or built them and had no idea because it was on like the last page. So this thing is now like illegal. You go to prison for 15 years when you're caught with one, but no one knows about it because there's no way to announce it because they snuck it in.
I see.
And to me, that's kind of faulty, but I mean, that's just how people do. They be just sneaking stuff in like farmers market girls.
Tell me about this farmer's market girl you keep going on about.
I don't know if I should. I like it was
You
just
keep.
I'm a little perplexed by her.
Why?
What do you why? If you
Well, you
knew
keep bringing her up. You keep talking about her. Let's hear about her.
Oh yeah, okay. So I was at the farmer's market and I
Which
was
farmer's market?
Orville.
Okay.
And I was just like chilling with my mom. It was kind of a slow day. No, it was, I mean, business was good, but it was like slow traffic wise. And the first thing I caught was like this leather jacket and like these tight curls. I was like, shh, hold on.
A leather jacket.
I think it looked leather. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was
Huh.
leather, but it might not
Okay.
be. And then pretty sure it is. Either way. And I think my mom greets her first, and I'm like on the right side. And then she turns and then she has like these piercing blue eyes.
Okay.
Like crazy blue. And I'm just like, hold on. This demon
That sounds
and or
interesting.
angel just walked across my path. And then I was just talking to her for a little bit, like just short conversation. It wasn't very long. And then she just like, kind of had this like bounce too. Yeah, people just like have a bounce, like you know, they're just It just, I don't know how. It just seemed like there was a bounce in there. Like I want to bounce on that too.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Okay. Like,
and then, she just like, I knew like I just fucked up when I was kind of paralyzed for a little bit. Cause I was just like, damn, like she's bad. Cause obviously I had to check her out, but my mom's right next to me. And we're like a couple feet away. So you can't just like look at someone and like get like your digs in without like looking like a creep, like you don't know this person.
Oh geez, okay, yeah,
you know what I mean, like you just gotta be kind of cool about it. So then I said, you know, goodbyes or whatever, and she just like walks away, and there's just like this pleasant vibe, like this trail she's leaving behind her. I'm like, god damn. And I could have sworn she had a fat ass, like I can't, it was a while ago, but I'm pretty sure. But she was wearing blue jeans.
Oh, interesting. What did you talk about with her?
I honestly don't remember. I just remember staring at her eyes and her teeth.
Oh, I see. Her teeth, her eyes, and her fat ass.
Well, when you say it like that. That sometimes that's all a man needs, okay?
I get you.
You know, it just it's the right combo. It's the right sugar, spice, and everything nice.
Sure.
That was the farmer's market girl. So yeah, I just watched her walk away. Never thought I'd see her again. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe she shows up at farmer's market. She's maybe a farmer's market fairy.
Dude, I hope so, because I'm trying to clap cheeks.
Oh my god, what?
Don't worry about it.
I know I go to farmer's markets, like, every chance I get. My kids and I like to frequent them. I probably ran into her myself, actually. Mm. Curly hair and stunning eyes. Is that what you said?
Yeah, just look and for her. If you see her, let her know, like, now that you know me.
Yeah. We usually frequent the Tenasket Farmer's Market, but...
Oh, we do that one, too.
Every once in a while, that Orville Farmer's Market is cool. I usually get my kids, like, a bracelet or... No, I'm the one that likes bracelets, actually. I'm like, let's go get a bracelet. And I'm like getting the bracelet myself. And we usually get a watermelon or something. And
yeah,
I like to buy soap. I got two soaps, I think, last time I was at a farmer's market from a booth.
Oh, nice.
I still have them, actually.
Oh, do you?
One of them reminds me of my grandparents, my grandma, like the way my grandma's perfume smelled whenever I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a, I don't know if it was kind of blue, kind of a, almost like a jelly colored, like a jelly, like, you know how it's kind of clear almost.
Yeah, like a glycerin soap.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it smells like my grandma's perfume. And the other one, it's like... It almost reminds me of kind of fluffy, but it's not fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got gold and orange running through it. And I don't know. I think it's like tobacco or something.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's a coincidence. Because my mom sells soap. So
does she sell soap?
Yeah, she does.
I think. Oh, this one's not. This one's one of my favorite ones right here.
Is it the blue one?
No, it's the black one. The blue one is nice.
The black one. That must be cowboy.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, that's a super great segue, because I'm dropping my own cologne line this year.
Yeah?
Yep, I'm working on my own cologne line. I got the scents on the way. So, mom's working on some new stuff for this year. She's going to make sure, like, so the barter fair should be going this year.
Yeah, in the spring.
Yeah, so the spring and the one in the fall. So if you end up going, we should go. We can hang out.
Yeah, I released my own scent, and nobody appreciated it when I locked the windows.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
You can put that in a jar and sell it. There's people in the market for that.
I'm super juvenile. Oh my gosh. Anyway, yeah, I really enjoy that soap. And do you know what you're releasing your own cologne?
Yep.
Please stop hitting me with that.
I have six different scents coming so that I can mix and match what I want and what I like. Like there's one, so I can give you one that I'm working on. I'm gonna do like it's called Flannel, which is known to be like a Bath and Body Works scent, firewood and leather.
That sounds really good.
So
What
I'm
is
gonna
cowboy?
cowboy. Actually, I can pull it up real quick. Just give me 2 seconds.
It smells so good. And the other one,
And the
the
other
blue
one,
one.
blue. Like if it's pretty sure you got it from my mom. So if it's blue. Was that? I know what you're talking about because someone else said that same thing. Like they said it reminded them of their childhood though, not their grandparent, but like still like the past, which is super crazy. I'll have to figure
It
it
smells.
out and get you. I'll get you like that scent. Let me see what cowboy is
Smells
though.
just like my grandma's perfume.
But so the other scents I got was Dauntless, Burberry Brit. And cedar. So,
Nice. Cedar's always a nice smell.
oh yeah, like that's the one, you know, like I want to like drop a couple drops and like change the tone of something. I want to do it with the cedar. So cowboy. God, they had to be so strong back in the day. Ooh, that's why I love it and why you love it. It's citrus bergamot. So bergamot is like that the Italian citrus. Sea salt, lavender, jasmine, amberwood.
Nice.
And then there's on a bed of cedar wood with an exotic musk to it. So there's some musk to it.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. So when I shower, I'm about to take a shower after this podcast, and I'm probably about to grab some of that.
Nice.
That's a benefit. It's just like, because, you know, benefit of living on a family farm is once I'm done building, I'll be far enough away. I'll never have to deal with anything, like if I don't want to. But I'm close enough if something goes wrong, I'm not 4 hours away. You
That's
know?
true.
You know, because like my guilt, you know, like living in Tacoma, if my mom, when she got hit by the ram, no one knew. She was just on the ground fighting a fucking 300-pound ram.
What are you talking about?
Like so the our old ram, well, she shot him and I gutted him.
Got it, a ram as in a sheep.
Yeah, like a sheep got out and just like hit her so hard she like went feet off the floor.
Jeez.
And then just kept ramming her on the ground and no one could hear her scream, nothing like that.
And that was in Tacoma.
No, that's here on the up here. We have a farm up
Oh,
here.
I see it. I see.
So
Yeah, that's
there's
what I thought you passed.
yeah. So there's chickens and stuff like that up here and then one goat and then three sheep for the pretty much the wool. I gotta build her a new like a spinning machine so she can make yarn. But what the hell was I doing? I told you what cowboy was. I told you my fragrances. I don't know, do you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
I mean we're at 1 hour 15, hour 13.
Yeah, we probably should wrap it up.
So yeah, because I want to touch base with you after this.
Okay,
So,
yeah.
all right. Well, is there anything you want to say in closing?
Thank you for inviting me to be on your podcast with you.
Well, of course. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it. Well,
Definitely.
with that's been another Dying Breed discussion with your host, Lewis Blaine Anderson, and guest host, Josie. We will talk to you another day. If any of your parents are still alive, call them right now. If you have one near you, give them a hug. Good night.